How many years have you done the Jesus in the City parade?
Wow. Jesus in the City?
Yeah, how many years?
7 years.
7 years. And out of those 7 years, how many times have you randomly been selected to be dressed as the high priest in the parade?
Probably 5 or 6. Yeah.
Interesting. Do you think that's a coincidence? I think not. So I'll never forget, I was at Jesus in the City, and I got there late, so I ended up being a shepherd, which felt really weird. I don't know. I was really hoping to be Esther or somebody cool, but anyway, I switched to an angel. Yeah, yeah, like the really good costumes, you know, they go really early, so people line up if you want to be like, you know, Mary or Mary or Mary. Anyway, but Jay was dressed as the high priest, and I just thought, since they keep making him be the high priest at the front of the parade, I always thought that was really sweet and really, really prophetic. And it wasn't until I started studying the Second Temple period and the role of the high priest that I even got a bigger revelation. And the high priest would go before into the Holy of Holies wearing the special outfit, which had jewels on it that represented each of the tribes. And it's like he was carrying before the Lord all the different tribes, all the peoples. He was always reminding the Lord in intercession of the different peoples and the tribes and interceding for them just by his very presence. And I just feel like Jay, who's labored so much for our city and for unity in our city, and who's really carried before the Lord all the different churches and all the different peoples, he's really, I think it's totally right on that they kept making him be the high priest. Because he's just in that place of intercession that the Lord has put him in. So we're very privileged to have such a pastor and to hear the word of the Lord from him today.
Wow. Yay. Thank you so much, guys. Yeah, Elisa and Joelle, they're going for it. Go to the prayer meeting on Friday night, because the last time, Holy Spirit showed up very powerfully. Very, very powerfully, to the point where we really didn't have time to play any music or sing any songs because the spirit of revelation was so strong. We played about 2 songs, maybe 1, and then the spirit rushed in, and he gave us this crazy word about the Wizard of Oz, which I'm not going to get into, but it was good. So anyways, as far as the parade goes, yeah, it's interesting. That parade in particular is where me and Veronique actually first got involved in our church, because that's where we met John and Alex Tanyan, and they introduced us to John and Carol Arnott, and then they got us hooked up with Duncan and Kate. And so, anyways, yeah, I built the float and all kinds of stuff. And it was it's been a lot of fun doing that parade over the years. So, that's another thing. If you can go out, march for Jesus, because I really believe that the Jesus parade should be bigger than the gay parade. Yes. I 100% believe that. And so I've always been like, come on, let's go to the Jesus parade, because it's the one time where you can like go out in the city and dress like a Bible character and preach to total strangers and nobody will like arrest you. And I've had friends who've gotten arrested for stuff like that, so... Anyways, I had a friend, Jared, he got arrested for preaching in bar lines. He had chains, and he was telling everybody that they were in bondage, and there's chains dragging them to hell, and then the cops came, and anyways. Jared's a good guy. He's radical. Really radical. So, anyways, basically, just going to pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just show me how to start this, and that you would open up our ears, that we would be able to hear from you today, God, that we'd hear an awesome word from you today, Lord, and that this would help us to move forward. Now, in my cell group, I talk about how we all get big visions from God. Who here has gotten a big vision from God? Okay, I've gotten a big vision from God. God told me I'd be fire starter, that start fires in people and in churches. Right? That's the word. He gave me the fire manifestation. See? She had fire, and God gave me all this fire. So it was really good. And it was really great, but I was just like, God, how do I become a fire starter? You know? You ever do that? God, like, why? How do I? And God was like, follow me. And I noticed that it seemed to be one step at a time as God was leading me on this journey. It's been like 15 years now and still starting fires. But, you know, keys to going forward. Who wants keys for going forward? Good, because that's what I got for us today. I'm going to get a little bit ahead and then I'll jump behind. But Darla asked me a question. She asked me a question at the door over there last week. And you know what it was? She said to me, when I hear the voice of God, how come sometimes I hear yes, sometimes I hear no, and sometimes I hear maybe? Has anybody ever had that happen? Because of that, have you ever doubted that I was actually the voice of God? Good, because I'm going to answer that question today. I'm totally going to answer that question today. You know, in Proverbs 3, I think verse 2 says, we have to acknowledge the Lord, lean not on our own understanding, but acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, and he will guide our path. Guide our steps and make a path for us. Do you know that? You believe that? I believe that. I believe that if I acknowledge the Lord in every situation, that he will guide my path. There's another place in the Bible where it says, the Spirit joins itself with our spirit and makes intercession for us, even inside of us. Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe it is. And so, it's interesting. The Spirit is interceding for us. Did you know that? He makes intercession for us. Did you know Jesus is interceding for us? Does anybody know that? Good. Now, why am I talking about all this? What does that have to do with the voice of God? Well, sometimes you hear no. Sometimes you hear yes, and sometimes you hear maybe. I'm going to explain no, yes, and maybe. All right? Now, we all know that no means no, right? Yes would be, yes, this is the will of God. I'm happy, Holy Spirit. And you can feel the Holy Spirit rejoicing over you, and there's angels singing, oh. Right? Maybe is where God's like, I don't really know about that one. Let me go talk to the Father for you. You see, there's three different types of faith that we can have or walk with God that we can have. You know what they are? I call them? You have the Abraham faith. Abraham sought after God with all of his heart, left everything he had, right, to go after God, made covenants with God, became a rich man and said, I don't want a man making me rich, so I'll give it all to the Lord so that he can control my fate, my destiny, and get all the glory. Circumcised himself. That one is a little bit hard for me to swallow. If God came up to me and said, you know, I promised you something about 10 years ago and I still haven't given it to you and I want you to do that, I'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah. A little bit of pain involved there, you know. Come on out to the promised land, and it turns out to be the desert. This is Abraham faith, right? Seeks after God. It's called intercessory faith. It's the faith where God will actually come up to you and say, you know, I'm planning on destroying this city over there. And you have the right to say, you know, God, we have a really good relationship. I don't think you should destroy that city if there's 100 good people in it. You know? And we got Moses' faith, where God comes, and of course, Abrahamic faith is the yes faith. Okay? That's the yes faith. That's you're getting out of where you're at and you're going to the promised land faith. Right? Who likes Abraham faith? Woohoo! That's good, because there's a price for that. Then there's the Moses faith. Moses, he sees the fire, he gets up there, you know, and God says, take off your shoes, and he takes off his shoes, and then he casts the snake to the ground, his staff to the ground, and turns out into a snake. Now, picking up a snake by its tail, okay, that does take faith, because everyone knows, if anybody knows anything, I used to catch snakes when I was a kid. I know. I used to like catching them, so gardener snakes and whatnot. If you grab it by the tail, it swings around and bites you. We all know that. Especially, and this was a viper, poisonous snake. It took a lot of faith to grab that thing by the tail. Moses specifically was asked to grab it by the tail. He did. So we won't say that he didn't have total faith. But there was this one point where he's like, I want you to go and speak to Pharaoh for me. And what did Moses say? Wait a minute here. Hey, I don't speak very well. I'm a stutterer. I'm going to need some help here. And then God's like, okay, maybe I'll send your brother. This may be faith. And so Moses was a picture of a person who was walking in the desert with God, who had everything provided for him, but didn't quite make it into the promised land. That's maybe faith. He was walking by grace and humility. I believe the reason why Moses was the humblest man on earth was because of the grace of God that was poured out upon him and the children of Israel as they wandered through the desert. It's prophetic. And then, of course, there's one other kind of faith. So that's interaction faith, where you're interacting with God. Okay? That interaction, intercession, Abraham. And the last one, there's a show about this. You guys ever heard of this show? It's called Intervention. Has anybody seen that show? It's a show all about the person who's like totally strung out on crack and lives on their own and in the bushes or on Skid Row or something. And their family is really worried about them because they feel they're going to die. And so what they do is they have a team come and kidnap them and take them to rehab. And it's called Intervention. Now, there's a person in the Bible who had God do intervention in his life. You know who that person was? His name was Jonah. He had a case of intervention. That was the first intervention show, really. You know, God says, Jonah, you're going to Nineveh. And Jonah's like, no way. And all of a sudden, comes the storm, the whale. Yeah. And all the time when we speak to God, we get to choose whether we want to intercede. Intercession could be just plain old more God. Or that we get to choose to interact, say, hey, wait a minute, God, I'm not quite feeling that. I need something like a little more, maybe a healing or a sign or something before I can go forward. And of course, intervention, well, here comes the whale, right? Now, all these things are good, and they're all God, and it's a great way to tell which way God is working inside your life. I think of it as, for me, it's like the compass of where I'm going within my faith. Does that make sense? It's a compass. I know that if God is intervening then I'm going the wrong way. I know that if I'm interceding, then there's more for me, but because of the fact that I'm wanting to negotiate with God how far I'm willing to go, it means I can't go all the way. And of course, there's the Abraham thing. And I know that if I act more like Abraham, I will get over and abundantly that which I can ask for or possibly imagine. And it's a choice that you get every time that you speak to God or God speaks to you. The different ways can all work together. Like Abraham heard the voice of God, saw the desert, and ran to Pharaoh and said a lie, and God came and he intervened. But then God asked him to go back to the promised land, and he said, okay. You see what I mean? So just because you're in one section doesn't mean you're not in another. And a lot of people, when God is starting to, when it's time to intercede, they want God to intervene. And they say, where's God in my life? And God's there. They just don't recognize it. And it can work the inverse way. God can be intervening, and you want to interact with God. So you'll be like, God, why are you doing this in my life? Why is this whale here? And little do you know that the whale is actually bringing you to the place where you're supposed to be in the first place, but you ran the other way for. And then there's this whole intercession thing where you've spoken to God and God's told you specifically to do something to cause a chain reaction, and you said, no, wait, God, I want to do this first. And he says, oh, okay, I'll let you do this. And then you say, God, where's the promised land? And everything seems provided for, but you're stuck in this desert because of halfway obedience. Does that make sense? So, yes, no, and maybe. With God, it's always best to be in the place of, yes, God, I'm going there, I'm doing it. You know, always. And I believe that the best way to tell where we're at in our walk is to check the status of our heart. Because our heart can be like hot, cold, or lukewarm. And Revelation says that. Right? I believe that the heart actually can be a way of gauging truthfully where you're going with God. Right? See, the people in the desert, they didn't want to serve God with their whole hearts. But Abraham gave himself wholeheartedly to God. And Jonah, well, even after all the miracles and the people of Nineveh repenting, was still forced to go out into the desert and have this tree grow up and have a good fruit and then die so that God could change his heart toward the word of the Lord because he still was despising it. And it's interesting because, you know, in the Bible, the prophets spoke the word of God, and there was different results. There was intervention or judgment. There was interaction, right? In the desert, God did the deliverance, but they actually couldn't go into the promised land because they said, God, we're afraid to hear your voice, and the giants are too big, and we don't want to go into the promised land. So God let them into the desert. And then, of course, there's going into the promised land, Abraham, you know, he's going, or Joshua, brave and courageous, and went forward. And God held the sun in the sky and put 30 kings underneath his feet. I'm in it for the 30 kings myself. And the ways can work together, but I really believe that the key to getting this Abrahamic faith, it's our heart. Because, you see, there's people who receive the heart of the Lord, the word of the Lord, and they receive it wholeheartedly and they go for it. And then there's people who receive the word of the Lord, but they don't totally receive it wholeheartedly, and they get interaction, which isn't bad. And then there's other people who they just like totally miss it, and they get intervention. You know, Jesus called it, some get 40-fold, some get 60-fold, and some are 100-fold in fruit bearing. You know? And just take a moment and just check your heart. See, I did a lot of fasting last year because I was really disappointed with God by a lot of the things that were happening inside my life. And so Sandra Long said to me, she said, "Why are you fasting?" I said, "Well, I really want to keep my heart soft. And I really want to be able to be humble enough to submit to the next thing God says to me, because I know that I'm going to need to if I need to keep going in this Abrahamic type of faith. Because I want to run to Egypt, or I want to run to, you know. Because, you know, even with the prophets, when you hear God's voice, they say, I was telling my cell guys, I was like, you can hear, there's three voices you hear, the voice of the enemy, the voice of you, and the voice of God, and you get to choose. And sometimes it's like there's one man, he's saying chocolate for sale, you know. There's another person, they're saying free cruise, right? And there's another person saying, oh, I got a job over here for you. And whatever mood that your heart's in will be the call that you answer. Does that make sense? If your heart isn't hungry and you're in the mood for chocolate, you'll roll with a chocolate guy. And if your heart isn't there, you know, and you're feeling a little optimistic, you might go for the cruise. And if you're in it, you get it, right? And so what we want to do is we want to keep our heart open to the voice of the Lord, because it will determine where we're going spiritually. Whether we're going to the desert, whether we're going to the whale, or we're going to the promised land. So, who wants whale? No? Good. Who's happy with the desert? Israelites certainly weren't. Shoes were provided for. Manna's on the ground. You will get revelation from God. Water might even come from the rock. Oh, but it's nothing like the promised land. It's not too hard. There is trials, and you get to go around in circles. You get to keep turning to your idols and then turning back to God, compromising. Or there's promised land. You know what promised land is? It's when you get strong and courageous and brave. You cross over that river and you put your sword on your side, a lamp and a torch, and you start to take down cities. You start to take hold of the promises of God and fight for them with everything you got inside of you. Like Abraham did. Even when the promise was so far off that even his own wife was laughing at him, he was still going for it. And that's what it takes to get into the promised land. Because, I'll tell you why. It's not because God is a mean God. It's because God knows that if you want anything on this earth more than the promise of God, the devil will offer it to you and rob you for it. It's funny, I was talking to Claire a couple weeks ago about starting a business, because I was like, oh, I got to start a business now. And I was talking to God, and God said, maybe. And I was like, huh, you said no before. why did you do that? And then Darla asked me the question. And then the Lord dropped the word on me. He's like, oh, crap. No desert for me, God. I've had enough desert. I'm the violent. I'm going to go for it. And I would encourage us as a church to become Abrahamic faith people, to become the violent, to be willing to cross that river and fight for the promises of God on our knees and with our actions and our deeds. And if you are in the desert, that's okay. God can use the desert to prepare you to go into the promised land. God can use intervention to prepare you to go into promised land faith. And many times, if you read the Bible, he actually does that for most of the Bible characters. But church, as your pastor, I'm telling you. Get an eye like Caleb who wants to take down some giants in some cities. Be looking, you know, to go forward in faith when God speaks to you. And you'll find that there will be angels holding back the sun so that the day inside your life won't set so you can fight forward for the victory and win the whole land. It's so much better, you know. Don't be weary of doing good. But instead, you know, go forward for God and for his promises. And don't be afraid to fight. And when you do see the fight coming, don't shirk back and ask God for a compromise. Because it's not worth it. It's so not worth it. If anything, I've determined in my own spirit that I will not shrink back and go for the compromise. Because I hate the desert. I've been in the desert too long. The manna's good. I like the manna, but it's sandy. Sandy out here. Sandy eye. You know, the old joke, the desert. You can't see anything except for the desert that's in front of you. You know? So I want us just to take a minute and ask the Holy Spirit to show you your heart and where it's leading you. Is your heart leading you to bondage? To the whale? Like Jonah? Because of intervention? So that the Lord might deliver you later? Is your heart delivering you into the compromise? Into the desert? So you might turn to God and repent and ask him to lead you into the promised land? Oh, you can take another lap around the mountain if you want, but... and keep hold of your idols. But it's not really worth it. Is your heart open? A lot of times the Lord won't even give you the word that he has for you until your heart is open because he's afraid that you'll mess it up. And so there's times in your life where you'll say, God, I can't hear you. I could hear you so clearly before, but I'm losing my vision and I'm losing my focus. Usually that's because you didn't obey the first word that you got before, and the silence of God is mercy because he's giving you time to obey. He's giving you time to obey. So yes, God is working in your life. You don't even know it most of the time. He's always there and he's always faithful and he's always good. And in a lot of cases, his silence is mercy. In a lot of cases, Your compromises are mercy. And in all cases, your breakthroughs are mercy. It's all mercy. We'll say grace because of Trevor Zuska's word last week, if you were here. Mercy is getting what you don't deserve, but grace is getting more than you deserve. And I really believe that the Lord, for some people here, is actually laying that choice before you. Do you want the mercy of God? Or do you want the grace of God? Do you want to not get what you deserve, or do you want to get more than what you deserve? You want to be swallowed by the whale and spit out where you're supposed to be? Or, you know, lead the people to the promised land but not actually get into it? Or do you want to go all the way? Yeah. I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. No matter what happens, I'm going all the way. No matter how bad it gets, I'm going all the way. I am. I'm going to take me out some giants and win some cities. Because I've set my face like flint to seek out the Lord and follow his word. Like Abraham, and if it means I have to cut myself, so be it. If it means I have to sacrifice, so be it. Because I know that I want to be that hundredfold fruit-bearing Christian. Not the 60-fold and not the 20-fold. And since I'm supposed to be your shepherd, under-shepherd, Jesus is your ultimate shepherd, I would encourage each one, every one of you today, to seriously consider the journey that you're on and the status of your heart and use it as a compass, and you'll be able to tell exactly where it's guiding you on a daily basis. Sometimes I do it on a minutely basis, on an hourly basis, whenever something comes up. You know? Ha! And if there's anything that God has spoken to you recently, and maybe you've been cold, maybe you've been lukewarm. If you've been hot, don't worry about it. If you've been hot and it seems like things have been coming against you and there's been trials and things haven't worked out quite the way you expected them to, don't worry. Abraham had the same problem, and so did Joshua. But they both got the promised land just fine. Because they were willing to fight. And if you feel like you haven't heard from God about anything yet, ask God what was the last thing that he told you. Should you, and start there. Because you just might be in the belly of a fish right now. And God's waiting for you to intercede, to cry out to him to bring you into the promised land. Maybe you're saved, maybe you're not. But either way, it's all mercy, mercy, grace. Ha. So just close your eyes and ask the Lord to show you where you're at in your walk with him. Ha. And if there's can be different areas in your heart too. Like there can be some areas in your heart where you're a Jonah and other areas where you're Moses and other areas where you're an Abraham. But the best is always full surrender. You know, back at the airport when we used to go, ho! You know why they used to do that? Because in the old days when they had horses and they would drive the horses forward, That's what they would use, was the command to make the horses go forward. At least that's what I believed. That's what I was told. It had to do with horses for my friend Sandra. Wagons ho. Going forward into the promised land. Each and every one of us. Maybe you want to pass down your promise to your children or your children's children. But I'd rather pass down the land. Might be a little bit more of a fight. The kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Keep speaking to people about stuff. Just begin to pray, church. Spend that time with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. If I could have somebody from the worship team come up and just play. If you feel that you still haven't gotten it down where your heart is at with God, or that you need some more prayer, just feel free to come up to the front. The altar's open. But maybe you need to repent. Over you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've called each and every one of us to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. To be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You've called each and every one of us, Lord, to receive your promises as yes and amen, as we say yes and amen to you. Yes, and let it be done. I thank you, Lord, that you are merciful and you are gracious and you are kind and you do move at our speed. But Lord, I pray for some of us in here today, including myself, that you would accelerate us, God, up to your speed. For some of us, we might walk and not grow weary, we might run and not grow faint, but raise us up on the wings of eagles, Jesus. That we might soar with you and see from your perspective today, God. I want to soar with you. Lord, soften our hearts, Lord. That we might get to the point where we would be like Abraham, where we would believe beyond belief. Beyond sight, for your promises, where we would begin to confess and fight for your promises to the point where we would cause God to come down and visit us, where you would take notice, Lord, of us. Maybe like a blind man crying out to Jesus in a crowd, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." Well, today, Lord, like that blind man inside that crowd, I cry, "Son of David, don't just have mercy upon me, but have grace upon me, Lord. Give me the grace to soften my heart. Give me the grace to go forward even though it doesn't look like it's going to be successful. Give me the grace, Lord, to receive the word of God and not compromise it. To make that sacrifice and chase away the birds. To say, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. And I am in His hands. Lord, that we wouldn't love anything in this world more than we love Your promise. Because of Your goodness, because of Your presence, because of Your grace. Ha. Yes, Lord, I thank You that Moses loved You more than the promise. And because of the fact that he loved You more than the promise that he actually did receive eventually, as he stood in the promised land with Jesus on the mountain on the other side. Ha. Lord, let today be the day where we stop going around in circles and we go forward into the promised land. Today be the day where we stop making excuses and we go forward into the promises of God. Today be the day where we stop being discouraged because of our circumstances and we can become encouraged because of the greatness of our God. Lord, when You say maybe, let's just press in and ask God, why maybe, God? We wouldn't lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, we would acknowledge God. He would guide our path and our steps, each and every one of them, even if they lead to marching around the walls of a city and blowing trumpets. Crossing a river, it wasn't even quite dry ground, and standing, ha. Lord, that is blocked. The water would be blocked by Your promise, Lord. And that promise of God would cause the river to cease and we would be able to cross over into the promised land. Whoa. The Lord's just showing me a picture of how we declare His promise and we believe in it. It's a lot like putting the Ark of the Covenant into the river and it causing it to stop up. So that we might walk across. So if you have some promises from God that you've been discouraged about, just put that out there into the river. Start to declare them and praise God for them. Thank Him for them. Ha. Thank You, Lord, that You called me to be a full-time revivalist, fire starter. Called me to put people into their calls, to start scary revivals where everybody gets what the Lord died for. He called me to raise up fruit-bearing Christians that get 100-fold and 110-fold. People who take cities, people who take mountains, people who scare the devil. Thank you that these are those people that are taking cities and taking mountains. I thank you for Alicia, Lord, as she's going to the cry and she's taking the mountain of media. Woo-hoo! And as she's written the play again, she's edited the play that got 1,500 people saved last year, and that hundreds of people, thousands of people are going to get saved this year through it. Ah. And as she is just going forward in the mountain of media, Lord, pressing in as you've provided, even though there seems to be opposition, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen her, Lord, for the fight, and you would give her wisdom, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Ah, I thank you for Trevor, Lord, as he's taken on that mountain of education. Show. Though there might be obstacles inside of his path, Lord, that he would just go forward and take that mountain. Ha. I thank you, Lord, for Jeff there, and as he's taken on the mountain of intercessory prayer. Ha. And he's going for the promises no matter what, Lord, as he's walking forward. I thank you, ha, for Sandra, she's going for the mountain of healing in Jesus' name, as you rebuke the devils and they've stopped coming to her and they've stopped shaking her bed, and she's taken authority over those demons of harassment and blasphemy. Now she's going after those devils for healing of sickness and infirmity. Now she wants to start a prayer meeting for healings in this church. She might get healed and everybody that's sick might get healed. I thank you for that, God. Ha. I thank you, Lord, for each and every mountain and ministry that's being birthed right here, right now. Ha. Thank you for Claire. She's come out here in Abrahamic faith through the promise. Believing God will provide. And she said, the Lord is my portion, over and over and over and over and over and over again. I thank you, Lord, for Natasha as she's going out to Africa into the promised land like Abraham. Ha. And she's fought and she's fought for the promise. And she's not going anywhere until she receives the fullness of what God promised, revival. Revival, that she's going to receive a whole nation in Jesus' mighty name. Ha. I thank you, Lord, for destinies that are yet to be unfolded in this place. Callings and gifts of evangelism and intercession and pastoring and business. Lord, even as you just begin to just drop down those words and those visions on people, Lord. Yes, God. Praise you, Lord. Can we just give God an applause? Just give him a clap. Your mercy is awesome. It's good. But your grace is great. That your mercy is good, but your grace is best. And that you today have laid before us the best. You've not held back from us today, Lord. But you've put for us good and best. And today we're willing to choose best over good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hello. Ah, yes. So, I'm excited, heading into the promised land. That was so encouraging, you know, and we just want to pray that the Lord will give us each a vision for our own promised land, just like he gave Abraham these incredible visions that must have sustained him. I will make your descendants like the sand on the seashore, like the stars in the sky. I'm going to give this whole land, look, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for behold, I'm giving it to you. You know, and he saw these promises and he lived according to them, even though they weren't really even fulfilled in his lifetime. They were fulfilled in the lifetime of his descendants, really. You know, but, you know, Jesus actually said of Abraham, he said, Abraham longed to see one of my days. He saw it and was glad. So somehow Abraham had that faith, right? That he saw the days of the Son of Man. He saw the days of Jesus. So yeah, as we go out from here, we just want to pray that each one of us would have that vision just like Abraham. Because I think, you know, it says without a vision, right? The people perish. Because you got to think, what on earth sustained Abraham? You know, living in tents, living among aliens. You know, what sustained him? And he had the vision from God. You know, he had the faith from God. And he acquired the promised land. He acquired the promise. You know? Yeah, so Father, thank you so much for this word about the promise and about the promised land, Father. And, you know, you speak so much to us about faith and hope. And yet these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. But Father, thank you for faith and hope that fuels our passion for you, that fuels us to walk forward, that fuels us, that gets us to yes. You know, I know there's talk in, I'm not sure what sector it is, but let's get to yes. Let's get to yes. Father, thank you that today we're getting to yes. So as we go from this place, Father, I pray you just give each one of us visions about the promised land that you've given us. You know, and if anybody is looking for vision, if anybody needs vision, please, you know, come to the front. If anybody wants that vision, wants that faith of Abraham, wants to get to yes in their life, wants to stay away from no, wants to stay away from maybe, wants to get to yes. If anyone wants that, you know, because we know it's by faith, it's by grace. It's a gift from God. It doesn't come from us. The ability to get to yes. The ability to say yes to God is in itself God's gift and God's grace. So if anybody wants that, please come forward. We'll pray, you know, that God will give you that that grace and that ability to get to yes. And we'll pray for vision. So, yeah, so Father, we just thank you. We just pray you bless everyone here with a vision of their promised land. And we just, the mountain that you have prepared for them, the place you have prepared for them. And we pray as they go out into the week that you'd speak to them, that you'd speak to them in dreams and visions. And all through the week, Father. Thank you so much.
So yeah, just at this last thought is I would like to encourage everyone to come out to the front, and for maybe Jay and Vera have the authority to pull out what is in us and to bring it forth. And I just had this thought when Vera was going along and pray for people, that she's releasing the faith for this vision and for this the gifts to come out. So if you'd like to come to the front, it may not take long, but just a quick laying down of hands and the vision to come out, and you may go back home with visions and revelations. And I just feel that they have this authority as they're already taking out their own promised land.
So Abraham had a promise. We're talking about this kind of right now, and the promises we have. And the promises we have of walking with the Lord and that faith. Now, Abraham, it said that his child, Ishmael, actually ended up having 12 children. So, you know, you think of the 12 tribes of Israel, right? You think of Abraham had Isaac and Ishmael. Well, Ishmael had 12 children before Isaac did. Isaac then had Jacob, and Jacob was the father of 12, which were the tribe of Israel, right? So anyways, what I'm trying to say here is, sometimes when you look at circumstances, you might see things that are kind of like the imitation or the fake or the not really what God's hand is upon. God's hand is always upon our lives. We've given our lives to him. He is faithful to do that. Although we might see things in the world that might look, this doesn't look like what I was expecting God to do. Like, I'm sure Abraham was looking at his children and saying, maybe Ishmael had 12 kids at that time when he passed on. My son Ishmael has 12 children, and Isaac has, like, 2. What's up with that, Lord? And so the promises that you see, it's kind of like, Lord, like when Alicia was saying, with the eyes of faith. Lord, let us see with your eyes of faith. Although the circumstances are things we don't see, we know you are faithful, Lord. And you will, in your time, fulfill, your promises in our lives for your glory, Jesus. And that's awesome. So, yes, Lord, just give us your eyes to see what you're doing and to agree with you and thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you, God. Oh, God, open our eyes. Hallelujah. Shaka.